My sister asked me this morning, said, "So how's your day so far, your morning so far?" I said, "It's great. I got up. It's not freezing as bad. You know, it's in the 30s, not in the teens like it was the other morning. And I saw three deer running across the field." To which I was able just to back Joshua's truck up and drive it out through the cornfield to look at them. It was great. And they were big. Unfortunately, deer season's not till, or gun season doesn't still till tomorrow. Well, you know, we just recently came off of celebrating a day of thanks, right? That is what Thanksgiving is about. It's not about watching the Lions play. It's not about watching the parade. It's about giving thanks to our Creator for the things that we have in our lives and for the things that He does in our lives. It doesn't matter if you celebrated with a turkey. I just recently learned you could have celebrated with a cooked swan. How many people have ever had, I'm sure it tastes like a goose. It's just a fancy goose is all it is. But they ate whatever they had. So it doesn't really matter what you had or didn't have. It's not about, here's one that throws people for a loop. It's not always about getting together with your biological family. When we were in the Marine Corps, we, and I say we because she, her life was affected by it just as much as mine, we had to learn that our family were those with us. And the first one we spent with a buddy of mine that, from Okinawa. He and his wife had just moved down there. So we celebrated our Thanksgiving with them. And then a couple years later, we celebrated with another family. And then I think the third year later, I think your mom and dad down then? I think Bob and Karen were actually down. So we actually did have biological family that year. But it made me no less grateful for the things that we had. But there's something that happens on Friday. Well, we all now know it as Black Friday. Did you ever wonder why they call it black? Anything they call black is not supposed to be good. I went out one time. I thought, I'll go to Menards. Menards just opened up. I'm going to go. They've got this shop vac for like killer price. I get there at 4 o'clock in the morning and the line stretched all the way across the store and down the side road. It ain't worth $30 for me to stand outside for another 5 hours. My time is more valuable than that. But if you went, more power to you, okay? I'm just saying, it ain't no sale out there worth it to me. We got up nice and leisurely. Had a big bonfire that was still going from the day before. But see, there's something, we have Thanksgiving, and then there's the other side of the story. Complaining. Today's message is entitled, Quit Your Complaining. And this is actually something that's been stirring. I've taught on it several times over the years, but it's something that has to keep going over and over and over until we get it in our brain housing group. God doesn't want us complaining. And there's a reason why. So let's pray real quick and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord, I pray now that you help us all to receive your word. Help us to take it to heart and that we will stop complaining, that we will see when we are doing it. Father, I pray now that you use me and speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. But have you ever noticed that when one person starts complaining, I mean, you can be having a great day, everything be going good. One person is all it takes to start complaining about. They can complain about the traffic in on Monday. Do you know what? Monday's no different than Friday. It's all right here, the 6 inches between your ears. That's where Monday is. Monday is no different. Unless you spent the weekend drinking, then you've got a hangover. But there's no difference between Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. They all have the same potential to be a bad day. They all have the same potential to be an outstanding day. It's all in how you start looking at it. But one person can start complaining about something and it'll spread to an entire group. If I were over here and let's say Katie started griping about something, just something, you know, it didn't matter, just something that bothered her, I promise you, it'll spread. And then Tammy will find something that bothers her and it'll keep going and it'll start infecting everybody around. That's what complaining does. We recently celebrated that day of thanks, right? Being grateful for the things we have, our health, our family, life, etc. But the very next day, we celebrate that thankfulness by rushing to a store that has lured us in with an insane deal. We spend the next 30 days running over top of people, pushing people, cussing people, fighting people in the stores for things. For things. But yet we just spent the last Thursday of November thanking God for the things that we have. So that gives us an excuse for the next, I think, was it 25 days? I think Justin told me. The next 25 days to act like morons. No, it doesn't. It is not justified. And I'm going to tell you right now, Christians are at the top of the list for being the rudest. I told Angela, I was in the grocery store yesterday, and one of my classmates works there, and she looked at me four times. I said, I love changing. The little beard changes things. People don't, last year when I grew my hair out longer, do you know, I stood right beside people that I knew for 20 years. They didn't know who I was. Wear something a little bit different. People don't recognize you, but you stand there and you see how they treat other people. I've actually learned to become more of a student of watching people than reading books, going to schools. You can learn more about people by watching them. You can learn more about their character by watching them when they think nobody's watching them. That's the true sum of your character. We start this feast of insanity by giving thanks to God, right? The truth of the matter is, we're not really thankful for anything. It's just another habit. Just another religious habit is all that it is. Oh, we say from our mouth that we're thankful for this, we're thankful for that, but from the bottom of our heart, we really aren't. We secretly hide the discontent we have under the guise of being thankful. Oh, God, I thank you for my family. And the very next breath, I don't know why so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. Start complaining and griping about them, and there's not a thing you can do. You can't change anybody else's life. You can't do it, so stop it. You're only in charge of your life. I like some of the things I see going around on Facebook. You're the one in charge of it. Quit letting people tell you that you're lesser than them. Quit letting people take advantage of you. A girl in my class when we graduated, she gave me her senior picture, and on the back of it, I remember real like it was yesterday. She's like, Art, you're such a sweet guy. Quit letting people take advantage of you for your homework. Y'all do pay attention to what I say about my homework, right? I didn't do it. But that was my senior year, and I was trying to get really good. I needed to do really good for 3 out of 4. So I was doing my homework. But there's only certain people I let use my homework. And they were usually smelled pretty and of the female variety. I knew exactly what I was doing. They weren't taking advantage of me. But see, we let people take advantage of us because we won't say no. Do it yourself. I think Elvis said it the best, folks. It's your baby. You rock it. Okay? Maybe that'll help some of you today. It's your baby. Don't drop it off on my front porch. Okay, get off that soapbox. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, Pastor, I'm speaking it. Yes, then why am I hearing you complain? Why is it? That's because this passage is describing the part of the heart in our mind that we do not consciously control. It's the real you. It's the rubber meets the road you. It's who you really are deep down inside. We've got it covered up with, oh, I'm so thankful, Jesus, I'm so thankful, I'm so thankful. Blah, 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 blah. We gripe, we murmur, and we complain. And we don't even realize that that's what's sickening. We don't realize how much we are complaining. Oh, I was just making a joke. No, you were complaining. You were the only one. By the way, jokes are supposed to be funny. That's what we keep telling Justin. He's our jokester in the family. Told me one the other day, Dad, why did the chicken cross the road? And I don't even remember the punchline now. But it was so stupid. And he gets to telling us stupid jokes, and he knows they're stupid. He just keeps going on and on. And they just get more ridiculous. And we start laughing because they're so ridiculous. But a joke is something supposed to be funny. But when you say something sarcastically complaining, that's the real you. When you look across the street and you see your neighbor's just got a new car. Maybe they just remodeled their house. I don't know who they think they are. Wish they'd just leave the neighborhood alone. Why? The earth doesn't stay the same. This is the hilarious part. We're the only ones trying to keep things the same. God said, I made it to keep changing. That's why I gave you four seasons. That's why I gave you different regions. You don't like the plains? Move to the mountains. Don't like the mountains? Move to the rolling hills. Don't like being landlocked? Move to the coast. God has given you everything. Change happens. Oh, I just hope they leave those trees there forever. Eventually, trees die. Eventually, they get rot. Things change all the time. So quit complaining about it. This is the part we keep hidden. We keep this part of us hidden under that guise of we're thankful. Oh, we're very appreciative of what we've got. Until something doesn't go right in our life. Maybe we're a little stressed. We're stressed from work. And then we go out to our car. We have loved this car. We've enjoyed this car, but we get out there and the battery's dead. This stupid piece of junk. Ding, 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 character showing up. Just yesterday, you thanked God for that car. You thanked Him you didn't have to walk to work or ride in an Amish buggy. Yeah, everybody, there should have been more amens on that. We passed a couple Amish boys the other day. I don't remember how cold it was. But I know they were riding like this. I mean, their faces were as red as Kyle's shirt. They were cold. And we just drove right on by with the heater cranking, with our loud exhaust, thanking God that we had that vehicle. But you see, stress and hard times, trials, bring out our true character. I love watching all these. The big thing now is kids playing Call of Duty, Medal of Honor, and whatever other video games there are. Look at this. I beat you on a video game. Let me tell you something, Bubba. It's a different story when bullets are flying your way. You can think you're Billy Bad Boy, but when the stuff hits the fan, we'll find out what your character is made of. And that's the same thing with us. Oh, we're just so thankful for this, and we're thankful. And let me tell you, I will probably get tested on this tomorrow. It never fails. I preach a message, guess who gets to go through the first test? And usually it's because I just came out of it, and then it's like, oh man, here I go again. But I need to remember that. You know, most of you, I think everybody in here knows, we recently moved. And the house was not quite up to par to what we left. But I was like, God, I'm so excited. I get to be out in the country again, blah, 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 blah. And I'm, I tell you what, you still can't beat it, in my opinion. So quiet. We shut off the security light, and you can see stars. Pastor, aren't you worried about somebody breaking in? Nope. We've been firing off the guns. We know they know we're armed. Now, there ain't nobody around us. But anyhow, I found myself the other day when crunch time came. We've moved in. We don't have a drain to the sink because we later found out some rocket scientist decided to run the drain from the kitchen sink into the ground below the crawl space. You understand what I'm saying? It just went into the ground. Crawl space this far below. The water just went there. I have no drain for my kitchen sink. Therefore, I can't have a kitchen. Praise God, we now have a kitchen sink. However, I found myself the other day, I was like, God, I got to do this, 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 and this. I've done all this. And I was like, but God, how... I said, I love the place. I love where we're at. What's the deal? And he said, do you remember the movie Are We Done Yet? Anybody ever seen it? If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. Most of you have probably seen Money Pit. This is actually funnier than Money Pit. And you can let your kids watch it. But he buys this house. And it looks beautiful, but when they move in, they start finding out the plumbing's bad, the electric's bad, roof's bad, this is bad, they fall through the floor, you know, that kind of stuff. And he's complaining to the guy who sold him the house, who happens to be local building inspector, local contractor, local real estate agent, local midwife, all this stuff that, you know, you'd needed 10 million lives to live. And he starts complaining to him about this house. He said, I know, Nick, but he said, there's one thing I knew that you didn't. That if you would put the time and effort into making this better, he said, you could make a beautiful home and not just a house. And God said, do you remember that, Art? And I said, yeah. And he said, that's why you're here. This is your home. You can go buy a house anywhere. But this is my home. Do you understand? My boys are already divvying up their inheritance. The two oldest, Jesse came to me the other day, before I think right after we closed, and said, Dad, when you die, can I have the house? Give me another 40 years at least, okay? Let me think on this for a while. And Josh was like, hey, you guys can just move and I'll take the house. You know, so it's like they know it's home. This is their home. And this is what God did. And I found myself wanting to complain about all the work that I had to do. But see, there was something else I needed to be thanking God for, is that over the last 15 years, He has brought all the tools I need to do that job into my hands. And if I don't have the tools, I have friends who do. And God has brought blessing. I got to tell you, I'm still amazed at the blessing being outpoured into our lives. Things people have done and are doing. And I just sit back and I'm like, God, thank you. I will not complain about getting, now I got to tell you something, folks. You know I'm not a morning person, but I have been up before the sun every day. Especially this last week, as I wake up just about the time the blower shuts off on the wood burner and I go down and restoke the fire. Because I'm right above it, but there's going to be insulation going in there. But it's been a great thing. I cannot tell you how peacefully I sleep now. You're excused. But I found myself starting to complain, and God had to set me back on track. Sometimes God doesn't have to jerk the chain, you know, like you do when you're walking your dog and it's like choking itself. Anybody got a dog like that? Yeah. We had a big man, she would just as soon pass out before she'd back off. But that's the way we are with God. And sometimes God's got to give a good jerk on that chain. By the way, pinch collars. Dog Whisper said they work. And our last dog, it proved they do. They don't like getting pinched on the neck. But anyhow, God sometimes has to do that to us. Other times, just a light crack on the leash. Your dog would pull you all over the creation. But you see, what happens is we quit being thankful for what we've got. When we're looking at the neighbors and we start complaining about all the stuff they've bought and all the stuff they have, keep in mind, 9 times out of 10, they're in a lot of debt. Oh, I wish I had what they had. Do you really want the debt that goes along with that and the stress? Be thankful for what you've got. Live within your means. If you've got a mortgage on your house, I'm not going to condemn you. I've got one too. But live within your means. Be thankful for what you've got. And watch what God can start doing in your life. Because I promise you, had I started complaining about the work I got to do in this house, I don't think all the blessings we've seen coming our way would have happened. Truth of the matter is, we really complain when things aren't going our way, when we're no longer in control of it. That's why most of the people are complaining about the country. We voted this Congress, we voted this Senate, we voted this president in. Why are we sitting around complaining? I didn't vote for him, but... But as a country, we did it. Why are we complaining about it? We should make sure the next time we have elections, we vote right. By the way, I want to let you know just how things are going. I saw something the other day. Kind of shook me a little bit, but it said, should presidential terms be rescinded? In other words, king for life. People started asking about that not too long ago, how long it was going to be. I'll get off the political soapbox. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This was a scripture God started talking to me about, us saying we're thankful, and then we complain. We're double-minded. And James said, God will not give us anything. You ask God for this. God, I want a better job, but you complain about this job. God, I want a better car, you complain about this car. God, I want a better wife, but you're complaining about this wife. Thank God for the wife you've got. Watch her get better. Same thing for husbands. Quit complaining about them and start thanking God for what you've got, and watch what God does to it. God usually does not change the other person. It's the one complaining to him about who they're praying about. That's the hilarious part when we say, oh yeah, brother, I'll be praying for you. We go to God complaining about you. Isn't that what we do? I'm just going to pray for him. You go to God and you complain about the person. God, you know, you don't have to mention any of that to God. He knows what they're like. He said, pray blessing upon them, not gripe to him about them. But God told me, he said, people who murmur and complain are the same way. Their mouth says one thing, but their heart says another. They will not receive all that they could. He said, they aren't going to receive it because they're sitting over here thanking God, but yet when things get a little stressed, their body gets a little tired, car doesn't work, house starts leaking, plumbing breaks, boss is a jerk, whatever, their true colors show up. And when that shows up, it starts removing any thankfulness we thought we had. When all this starts happening, who we really are shows up. You understand, the children of Israel, God knew they were destined to be in the desert for 40 years. He knew it. He did everything he could to prevent it. Do you understand that? In Deuteronomy, he told them, you will live, you will be blessed, you will give and not borrow. You'll be blessed when you walk out of the city, you'll be blessed when you walk in the city. People will call you blessed. It's Deuteronomy 28 if you want to go check it out. But he ended that blessing with this stipulation. If you do all I command you to. 9 times out of 10, when we're in something that we don't like, it's because we didn't do what God commanded us to do. Because my Bible says God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. Bible also said he adds riches to us without sorrow. We can fool some of the people, but we never fool God. You may have me fooled. I got Pastor fooled. He thinks I'm thankful for what I've got. I got my family fooled. Then you go out. You didn't fool God. We can't thank him for the day and then go out and gripe because the weather isn't favoring us. This may be part of our problem. We think we are the most important, that we are more important than we really are. Do you understand there are 7 billion people on this planet? Somebody may be praying for rain. Somebody may be praying for sunshine. Somebody may need that sunshine. Somebody may need that snow. I was actually kind of hoping for a little bit of snow for tomorrow. It's a lot easier to track deer. Not that I plan on having to track them very far this year. I'm done with 5-mile tracks. God has a few other people who may need the weather we are having. The other day, you know, I called in a controlled fire, and I don't understand all the rules, and I'm not going to pretend to. Can't burn until after 6 o'clock. Do you understand? I can't see the pile. Well, about the time it got to where I could burn it, it started raining. The pile was already wet. Even kerosene and diesel fuel wouldn't keep it burning. It's gone now. I'm like, oh, well, forgot about it. Just said, yep, we're not going to get the fire going. Let's go do something else. Everything I needed to burn, I got burned last night until I get my next pile gathered. I don't know why we had the weather we had. All I knew was it was making my house muddy because we'd come in and we'd go out. But for some reason, there was rain, and I don't know why, but God does. And me complaining about it wasn't stopping the rain. I don't know how many times I've seen people stand out there and they complain and gripe about the rain, and it doesn't go anywhere. Well, Pastor, Jesus stopped a storm. Why can't I go out and stop the storm? First off, that storm wasn't from God. It wasn't a godly ordained storm. That storm was set out to destroy him and stop him from going over and setting free a demonic man who would later become a man who would spread the gospel. I really do hope that God's got a big video that we can watch all the people that we read about in the Bible and what. I mean, this man, do you understand? This man was a real terror. They would try to keep him in chains. Jesus came over and one word from him, the man was set free and he went around telling people about what God did. I think you're going to listen to the man who used to run around naked. Oh yeah, you got clothes on. You're in your right mind. Maybe we better listen to you about what Jesus did. Things that are not in God's will for us, we have authority over. The rest, we have to trust Him through. I like the song that sometimes God calms the storm and sometimes He calms His child. There's a whole teaching going out. You can go out and you can stop whatever. You can't. I got news for you. You can't do it. If God ordained it, you can't stop it, but He will protect you through it. If you will diligently seek Him and listen to Him. Sometimes He may say, get in the basement. You know, my very first hurricane was Hurricane Hugo. I was in the line of that stupid thing. I didn't know what a hurricane was. Oh, hurricane. So they took me from my 3-story barracks that were relatively new, strong construction, brick, put me in an old building from the early 1900s in the attic. I still don't understand that one, but because there wasn't much between us and the storm. A couple boards and some slate. I had to start learning to trust God at that time. Later, I would learn why. That was just my first hurricane. I'd go overseas. I'd learn what a typhoon is. And I was actually in a helicopter when a typhoon, not quite as powerful as the one that just went through the Philippines, but I was in the Philippines when that thing went through. Initial estimates were 50,000 missing. And the reason being is they have no clue how many people are on all those islands. There's like 1,000 islands. But I was in a helicopter heading back to Subic Bay, and I was up to where I could actually see into the cockpit, and a gust of wind came. We were flying right over a rice paddy. So I can imagine what Vietnam looked like at that point, because it was jungle and then rice paddies. But I watched the altimeter on the helicopter go a full revolution just like that. Pat was on similar helicopters. That's 1,000 feet, isn't it? Oh, it dropped. I was already sick, but by that time my stomach was hovering right around here. I had to learn to start trusting God with my life. Instead of complaining about it, I just said, God, get us out of here alive, and I'll shut up. We landed, no problems. The typhoon blew on in, did its damage, and blew back out. But when we murmur and complain, we're only showing God that we're not really thankful for those things that He has brought into our lives. It proves us out to be spoiled brats who need to be bent over a knee and fired up. Parents, let me ask you this. You provide something for your children and they complain about it. What's your first instinct? Boy, I'll smack you up the side of your stupid head. Right? Y'all can shake your head. Nobody's got a camera. Not child abuse I'm talking about. Why? It's because they're complaining about something that you toiled to get for them.
I don't like this Xbox. I need the new one.
You know what? You don't need any of them. My kids don't have video games. They go to other people's houses and play them. Why? Because I'm not going to be the fool paying $60, $70, $80, $90 for a video game that got outdated the day after I bought it. That's not the hot game anymore. Oh, this gaming system's outdated now. Somebody else came out with one better. Who cares? Go back to Space Invaders. Come on, it was real simple. We got to have realistic. No, you don't have to have realistic. It's called fantasy. I love these guys playing the football. That's me out there. No, it ain't. It's a cartoon that you're controlling by your fingers. I promise you, a guy that big hits you, you ain't getting up none too soon. And you don't have moves like that besides. 1 Corinthians 10, 9 through 10, or through 11. It says, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Everything we read that the Hebrew children went through was for our benefit. A smart person learns from their mistakes. A smarter person learns from somebody else's. I took my brother-in-law. He came over to check out our house. And like me, he was more interested in the barn. And there's one part of the barn that there's some planks that need to be replaced. And just some places that need planks. Somewhere along the line, they thought real thin tin or straw was a good cover for those holes. I told him he'd been in the army. And I said, it's just like a minefield. Follow the guy in front of you and stop when he disappears. So I walked out through there. I knew where I could step and where I couldn't step. But that's the same way we... Listen, if you see I go down a road and something happens, don't go down that road. It's that simple. Don't complain. Why? Because we see in the Bible how God sent the destroyer to destroy them. Because they would never be thankful for what they had and what he was doing. They always wanted more. Well, God, you brought bread. We're sick and tired of bread. Instead of asking God for bread or for meat, they complained about the bread. They never asked God for water. They complained. They never asked him for the bread or the meat. They complained against him. Jesus said, God already knows what you have need of, and he has already provided it. Well, why isn't it here? It's because of your mouth. Well, I thanked him for it, and I received it. Yeah, but then you turned around and complained about something else. Your heart is still full of murmuring and complaining. Clean it. He will not tolerate us complaining about things. By the way, complaining doesn't bring around change. God does. There are times to stand up when wrong is being done. That is not complaining. Are you hearing me? There is a time to stand up when wrong is being done. Recognizing that something isn't right deserves that attention. However, we should not make it our life's song. So many people have camped out on pointing out others' faults without doing anything to fix them. What are you doing to fix the problem? It's like hiring a plumber to come into your house. He says, yep, you got a clogged drain. And he goes out and sits in his van and drinks his coffee while still charging you. It's easy life for him. Anybody could have told you there's a problem. Yeah, I've got stuff in my sink. What are you going to do to fix it? Oh, I don't fix it. I just tell you what's wrong. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that things are wrong. We do what we can and we let God do his part. You don't like the government? Pray is what we are told in the New Testament. Pray. By the way, I don't think you can actually pray all of this one out. Are you hearing me? I think there's things of this that are ordained from God. However, you still need to pray. And if you pray, God will protect you. You don't have to worry about it. It's like going into a firefight and everybody else is on their belly crawling, hiding behind rocks, and you're standing up with a slingshot. Do you understand that's what David did? Everybody else was hiding, but this was ordained from God that this one little boy would go up against that man who was a warrior from his youth. Complaining about what we have or don't have or how much better someone else has it only shows how greedy and ungrateful we really are. God will allow you to suffer until you get it. You don't like hearing that, I know. The New Testament church today doesn't like hearing God will let you suffer. My Bible says that He disciplines those whom He loves, and He will let you suffer. He let the Hebrew children suffer, did He not? They wouldn't turn away from their idols, even though they had been told for years and years before to turn away from those things. God let them go back into captivity for 70 years. They still didn't get it later. And God let Israel be overrun, burned to the ground, the temple destroyed, and all the Jews scattered over the face of the earth, just to bring them back together in 1948 as a nation. He loved His children too much to let them continue going on that way. Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." This is something people forget. To those who love God. Now, if you want to understand who those are, go back to John chapter 13, I believe it is, when Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So if you're not obeying God, you hate God. Did I get that clear enough? "Oh God, I love you, I love you, I love you. Man, I can't stand that bum over there." I didn't read the whole story, but I was amazed, and I've often thought about it, but I know the heart of this body would not reject it. I thought about coming in stinking. I mean, pouring alcohol over me, a nasty wig, dirty clothes, and sitting on the front row and see who would ask me to leave. But I don't think anybody here would. But recently a pastor did that, and they asked him to leave. I have to tell you right now, that church had better been on the altar afterwards. Because that's why we're here. God calls those who love Him. He causes it all to work to good to those who are called according to His purpose. You got to be obeying Him, and you got to be in His will about it. I can't tell you how many times I've done things as a pastor now that were not in God's will for me. I got through them, okay? A little banged up because it wasn't God's will. I find when it's God's will, it's a whole lot smoother. And one thing I've always said, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. He pays for it, not me. Ephesians 1:11. It says, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will." He works it according to it. You get out of His will, guess what? Ding, here goes a roadblock. He's trying to direct you back onto your path. God will orchestrate in your life with events that will change you. My intentions when I got out of high school, I had a good paying job lined up. I had been promised that job. The day after graduation, all I had to do was go to work. The day before graduation, I was told not to show up. went to the Union Hall, signed up. Nobody. I think you need to understand, my family was in charge of the union. There's something wrong when your family's running a union and you can't get a job. But yet there was plenty of work. God orchestrated everything to direct me right into the Marine Corps. To direct my paths where I needed to be. He threw up every roadblock he could. I thought this was working good. I thought that was working good. I thought, God, I need a car. So my grandpa gave me an old truck. He said, here, you can have this old truck. Great, I can go to get a job. I can start working. I can get a girlfriend. I can move out. Well, the truck blew up. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's one thing after another. It was amazing how smooth things went when I got into God's will. I got a job that was in God's will. I got a girlfriend that was in God's will. I moved out in God's will. All three of those things happened within a month. It was amazing. And then I started changing. Not everything, though, that happens in your life is necessarily from God. Peter said the devil roams about as a roaring lion, seeking to destroy. Not everything comes your way is from God. But if you will trust God, He will direct you what to do in it. And He will work it out to your good. But if we want all that God has for us, this goes way beyond earthly possessions. We have to be obedient to His will. Truly thankful for what we have, not envying anybody else, and quit complaining about stuff. I hear myself and my sons. I complain about other drivers. You know what I hear going down the road? They're not even driving and they're complaining about other drivers. You stupid moron. Why did you pull out in front of me? There wasn't nobody for 2 miles behind me. And you turn 100 yards up the road. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Are you kidding me? There's nothing. Why? Who got worked up for it? The person who pulled out in front of you? No, it was you. It was your blood pressure that went. And especially if you had to jam on the brakes. Some of you have experienced that a few times. I think I got a good one right there. You may start off griping about one thing and finish up on an entirely different issue. Because it's a bad seed. One thing keeps leading to another. You keep complaining about this. You keep complaining about that. You started off having a bad hair day. Put a hat on. That's what I started doing. Or you can be like Sean. Hey, forget it. Shave it all off. John and Caleb, they both do that. I've thought about it. Oh, yeah. The Clippers are still UA right now, but you see, we can spend all of our life complaining about something. And if there's things we can change, why are you complaining about it? Change it. Recognize it needs fixed and change it. There's no point in getting complaining about it. So you stopped and you slid through an intersection because your tires are bald. Why are you complaining against a car? You're the moron driving it. I'm just saying, you're complaining against an inanimate object that relies solely on you to drive it. The car didn't just drive itself into the ditch. The other morning, you know, after we had that nice little snow, on the ground. I came into town. Later learned several friends had accidents that day. And I went across the tracks down here at Westview. Wasn't thinking nothing of it until Angela's expedition started going sideways. There was black ice there. Oh, I know. I should start complaining against the city. The city. No, I'm the driver. First thing I did is I put the switch and put it into four-wheel drive. It slides a whole lot less that way. Second thing I did, I let off the accelerator first. Then I put it in four-wheel drive. And I started driving a little more cautiously. Instead of complaining against the city because they hadn't gotten out there and gotten salt. I'm going to tell you right now, get used to it. They're not doing it. You will see less and less salt put out and less snow plowed. If you're driving in today, the state is not going to clean the highway until just before people are heading home. And then that's the last they're going to do until about 3 o'clock in the morning. They're going to get the roads cleared so people can go to work. That's it. You'd better start becoming a better driver. Budget crunches have hurt everything. There's going to be less salt slung and a lot more people being towed if they don't pay attention. Slow down. Don't complain. Enjoy it. And if you're getting a little stressed out driving in the snow, either have somebody else drive or don't drive. I've learned to let her start driving more and more. I've learned a lesson from my father. Actually, that's been a great example. I came from a family, the guy did all the driving. Anybody understand? You were the man, you drove all the time. It didn't matter if you were seeing green deer running across the road. That's when I first really started letting go. I was driving from Jacksonville to Charlotte after a long day. We shot, I think, 2 weddings that day. And it's real late. We're going over to see Bob and meet up with Bob and Karen. And I started seeing, they were actually bushes, but I thought they were deer running across the road. I'm like, I think it's time you drive. The bushes are running out in front of the road. Really scary part was we drove through a section one time going to Miami. It was somewhere in South Carolina. Neither one of us remember that road. We don't know who was driving. But thank God for His mercy. I mean, it was like a 2-mile stretch. Or like, did you drive through here? No, you did. No, I didn't. I usually remember roads I drive on. You can ask her. That's how I remember how I got someplace. I remember the road. Yeah. I think we were both asleep. We just don't know who was the guilty party that should not have been asleep. So I've learned to quit complaining about things and just start surrendering control to somebody else if they're ready. And you know what? Here's another great thing. They make these wonderful buildings on the sides of highways called hotels. It's a lot cheaper than an accident. $100, so what? You didn't die. Any day you don't die is a good day, right? Some sicko. Oh, but to be absent from here means to be present with the Lord. Yeah, if He wanted you dead, He'd have killed you at birth. He wouldn't have sent you to begin with. God wanted you here for a reason. He needs you. Feel free to hang around for a while. So we're going to quit complaining. Nip it in the bud. Do I need to come up with any more cheesy? When we say we're thankful, we need to truly be thankful for what God has done. Thank Him for the house you have. Thank Him for the car you have. Thank Him for the job you have. And if you and your spouse are at odds, start thanking Him for your spouse. And you will start changing. It's like, I'm kidding you, I kid you not. God doesn't change the other person. He changes you. And then they start changing. quit complaining. I promise you, you will see more blessing of God in your life. I cannot tell you the extent of what God is doing and His blessings just because I learned to quit complaining. I'm not saying that it doesn't come up every now and then. It's, like I said, driving on the road, that's where I do most of my complaining. Are you kidding me? It's 55 out here, not 25, honey. Move it or get... The pleasure of driving is not at 25. And unfortunately, there are days I feel like Sammy Hagar. I just can't drive 55. And God reminds me that that's the legal speed limit. So I back it back down and set the cruise. See, I learned to... Okay, God, instead of complaining against the 55 mile an hour speed limit, I thank Him for cruise control. Set the cruise. And I can move. All right, let's stand. Just spend less time complaining about things and more time thanking Him. And catching yourself. That's the biggest key, is catching yourself complaining. It starts with little things. You may start complaining about Obamacare and start complaining about everything else. I just brought that one up. There's all kinds of things you got you can complain about. But that just seems to be the biggest thing people are complaining about right now. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry. Ain't nothing you personally can do about it. Except for maybe next time, vote in men and women with backbones. So, pray for your government. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You. We truly do thank You for this day, Lord. Lord, we humbly ask You to reveal to us when we're complaining, when we're not truly being thankful and grateful for what You have brought. Yes, Father, forgive us. Help us to change, Father. Lord Jesus, You know what it's like to be in this body without the glory of God resting on us all the time as Adam and Eve were. Help us. Order our steps, Lord God. Your word says, Father, that the steps of the righteous are ordered by You. Lord, we thank You that we will change. Lord, we thank You for our spouse. We thank You for our car. We thank You for our job. We thank You for our house. We thank You for our friends and for our children. And Lord, we know that it's not necessarily them. They will change eventually, but it's first going to be us who changes. And after we've changed, we will know how better to pray. We won't be praying hellfire and brimstone down on people. We'll be praying compassion and mercy, Father. Now, Father, I thank You. I truly do. I thank You for all these people here today. Lord God, I know they have busy weeks ahead of them. So, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit rest on them as they go about their jobs, about getting ready for even the Christmas holiday, that, Lord God, You will be with them. Father, I'm going to ask this so that they don't stress, that they'll learn that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. So, Lord, I'm going to ask right now in Jesus' name that the things they're looking for gifts, You lead them to them, Father. That You lead them to deals that were not advertised. Deals that...